I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bible this morning to James, the book of James, chapter 4. James is one of the more practical books of the Bible. Amen. All the word is good. Amen. We know that. But James really breaks it down and says, listen, you have to live this way. Amen. It is in the book of James that we understand that faith without works is dead. Amen. It's in the book of James where he tells us, count it all joy.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
We learn some things. He lets us know that, if we claim to be religious but we don't help those in need, then our religion is
right.
Nothing.
Exactly.
Amen. You don't just say to people, be warm and be filled and go on your way.
Exactly.
You have to do something. Amen. Yeah. So James is about putting some action to your faith. Mm-hmm. Amen. And we're in James chapter 4. We're going to read verses 5 through 7. And then we'll jump down to verse number 10. Verse 5 says, do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusts to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Amen. Let's pray at this point. Father, we bless you at this hour, God. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness towards us. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the gift of another day.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you, God, for preserving us in the land of the living, that we may see your goodness one more time.
Yes.
And God, we pray, God, that you will now speak a word unto us. We are gathered here, God, with our ears attentive to your voice.
Yes, Father.
And God, it's our desire to hear you speak a word of life unto us. God, we need you today.
Yes.
And so, Father God, we come before you hungry and thirsty to receive from you, God. And we believe that you shall fill us up. Fill us up with wisdom,
yes,
knowledge, understanding. Give us insight and fresh revelation, O God. Give us answers to our problems,
yes,
O God, and the strength to endure in the name of Jesus Christ. Even increase our faith, O God, as we hear your word, O Father, in Jesus' name. Father, we're coming to you now as your dear children, O God, boldly before the throne of grace,
yes,
because we know, God, that we have a divine right to receive from you,
yes,
because of the sacrifice our Lord and Savior Jesus has made.
Yes.
And so, Father, we thank you right now for allowing us to come into the Holy of Holies,
yes,
that we may hear your voice, receive your instruction, and be blessed by the hand of the true and living God. Father, we thank you now for your word and what you're about to speak. I ask you now to use me for your glory, God, in the name of Jesus. Strengthen me for the task at hand and bless your people through it all, that we all may join together and give you praise and glory and honor for the marvelous things you have done in this place on this day. And we bless you in advance. In Jesus'
name,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. James chapter 4, 5 through 7 and verse 10 we just read. Amen. Our title today is God's Will Be Done. Amen. God's Will Be Done. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit today, amen, because how many of you can say with in all sincerity and truth that you want God's will done in your life?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I want God's will to be done.
Yeah.
Amen. I think sometimes we get tangled up in knots because we make things too complicated.
Yeah.
You know, we want to know things that aren't for us to know.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
We want things that we're not supposed to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we desire the wrong things. We ask for the wrong things.
Yeah.
And we don't get them, and then we become discouraged, and we question, and we get sad and we get depressed.
Mm-hmm.
But we can simplify things in a lot of ways if we simply say, God's will be done.
Yeah.
If we would live each day and in each situation where we just simplify it, I just want God's will to be done. It will take a load off of our shoulders, because sometimes, you know, we put so much stock in our faith, whether we believe God enough to get this or that. Is my faith strong enough to believe in, you know, my healing? Is my faith strong enough to believe that I'll get the new job? Is my faith strong enough to believe that I'll get the house? Is my faith strong enough? But as James, Brother James said, see, when you start off in mind, you're starting off with the focus on the wrong person.
Yeah.
The focus should always begin with God.
That's right.
Amen. I'm staying on this in the beginning, God, because this morning God said the same thing to me this morning as we were preparing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when I get up here and I heard you say that, and I'm sitting back there, I said, look at God.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You see, because it's something He wants us to know. See, and when we start with, is my faith, is my prayer, is my gift, is my service, when we start with that, we're starting with the wrong person.
Yeah.
We need to always start with God.
Yes.
Amen. And so God's will be done.
Mm-hmm.
I want God's will for my life.
Amen.
Yeah. I want God's will for your life. Mm-hmm. Amen. As born again believers, that should be the only thing we want.
Yeah.
Paul tells us in the book of Romans chapter 12 that God's will is good, acceptable, and perfect. That's what we want.
Yeah.
We want God's good and acceptable and perfect will to come to pass in our lives.
Amen.
When we live a life that says God's will be done, we're really living a life of godly humility at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not seeking what we want above all other things.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
In James chapter 4, verse 6. He says that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble.
Yeah.
And the humble are those who say, not my will, but thy will be done.
Yeah.
When Jesus said that in the Garden of Gethsemane, He was humbling Himself.
Because
He said, if it be possible, take this cup from me.
Amen.
That's what He wanted.
Yeah.
Right.
But then He said, nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done.
Yeah, yeah.
And true humility says, thy will be done.
Mm-hmm.
Pride says, my will be done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
And that's the difference.
Yeah.
Pride wants its way. I want my way. See, that's getting messed up in pride.
Mm-hmm.
When I want God's way, that's humility.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
So humility says, thy will be done. Pride says, my will be done.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And God says, for those who walk around saying, my will be done, I'm going to resist you.
Yeah, that's true.
Why? Because, and this is especially for God's children, because see, God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus taught the disciples how to pray,
mm-hmm.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
That's how we're taught to pray. That we want God's will to be done in earth. Where you live?
On earth.
You live on earth. So you want God's will to be done in your life since you live your life on earth. Because you want God's will to be done in the earth. Not only in your life, but in the lives of your family and your friends. And your neighbor, and strangers.
Yeah.
Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because your will is good, acceptable, and perfect. God's will be done. That's the mark of the humble. And the Bible says that God gives grace to those who are humble. Those who say, not my will, your will be done. He resists those who say, I want my own way. Right? You ever find that? When you try to insist on your way, it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a hard road to travel when you try to force your... Amen. You ever try to do stuff?
Yeah.
And you try to do it on your own, and you're going to force it in by willpower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't that hard?
Yeah.
It's a hard way to live.
Yeah.
Oh, but glory to God. When we submit ourselves unto the Lord, and we submit ourselves unto His will, it says He gives us grace. And what's that grace He talked about, right? It's favor and power. So watch this. So then, when we humble ourselves unto God, when we say, Your will be done, God gives us, because we're humble, He releases in our life favor and power. Look what it says. It says, God gives grace to the humble. So, He gives the humble people favor and power. And now you see verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore. In other words, since God will give you favor and power if you're humble, submit.
Yeah.
Jesus.
You understand what I'm saying? It says God will give you favor and power if you humble yourself. If you say, I want what you want, Lord.
Yeah.
Not what I want what you want. You'll give me favor and power. So then it says, submit therefore. In other words, yield to God then.
Yeah.
If you want to live a life of favor and power, submit therefore. How many people want favor and power? Then submit. Submit therefore. Amen. A lot of us, you know, along the way, we stumbled a little bit because we thought favor and power came from reading our Bible and knowing Scripture and being able to quote it back into people's faces. You know? Somehow we thought it was with us. That's why, listen, go to school if you want to, but still submit.
Amen.
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 That's right.
See, don't go to seminary and don't submit anymore.
Exactly.
You still need to submit.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
So don't do all these things, and you still need to submit.
Amen.
Submit, therefore, unto God.
Amen.
And because in that submission, in that act of humility, in that act of yielding, God gives you what? Favor and power. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. And then it says what? Resist the devil. See, the submission comes first.
Yeah.
Before you can resist the devil.
That's right.
Don't try to resist the enemy until you first submit.
Yeah.
Because until you submit, you don't have the favor or the power to resist.
Amen.
You got to submit first.
Yeah.
You have to yield first. You have to humble first before you try to tell Satan, get thee behind me.
Yeah.
Before you try to cast him out of your house.
Exactly.
Before you try to cast him out of your finances.
Yeah.
Before you try to tell him to get out and get to stepping. You have to first submit to God.
Yeah.
Because it's only in the power of God that Satan is going to flee from you.
That's right.
Amen.
Right? Sons of Sceva, we remember.
Yeah.
They tried to tell Satan to get going, and Satan beat them up, and they ran down the street naked.
Right?
That's true. Because the demon said, Paul we know, Jesus we know, but who are you?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you weren't submitted unto God.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
But when we submit unto God, we're clothed with the righteousness of God. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And when God looks at us, He sees Jesus. Amen?
That's right.
Because we're clothed in Jesus' righteousness. And don't you know Satan sees the same thing? Amen? When we're submitted unto the Lord, He sees us clothed in that robe of righteousness. Amen? And He knows, I can't let them, I'm leaving, I'm getting out of here.
Yeah.
Oh, but when we come in our own righteous clothing, which is nothing but filthy rags.
Exactly.
Amen? He knows the difference.
Exactly.
And He looks at us and goes, who are you telling to leave out of here?
Exactly. Exactly.
No power. Right? No favor.
Wow.
No presence of God.
Wow.
But when we humble ourselves unto God, when we yield unto God, mm-hmm. will we submit unto God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think, Lord, I want your will done. Amen. Every situation, mm-hmm. big or small, right?
Yeah.
Grace is released in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. God wants you to forgive people, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
You know that's his will because he tells you.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's
he wants you to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
Someone does something to you, you don't feel like forgiving. That's your will.
Yeah.
But God wants you to forgive. That's his will.
Yeah.
When you submit to his will, what are you going to do? Forgive. See how easy it's not hard.
Yeah.
It takes now life becomes less complicated.
Right.
What should I do in this situation? Well, find God's will.
Yeah.
What did God say about the matter?
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Pray. Ask God. God is not someone who doesn't communicate. He'll speak to you in the stillness. Amen.
Yeah.
Be still and know that I am God. And if you know that he is God, you'll know what his will is in the situation.
Yeah.
And once you know what his will is, what do? Submit.
Submit.
Mm-hmm.
And what are you going to get because you submit and now acted in humility? Grace.
Mm-hmm.
And what's grace? Favor and power.
Amen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Humble yourselves, he says in verse 10, in the sight of the Lord. And what shall he do? He shall lift you up. God says, humble yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Humble yourself. And he shall lift you up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Peter said, humble yourself. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, he says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time.
Mm-hmm.
How do you and I get exalted, get promoted, get lifted up? By first humbling ourselves.
Amen.
By first putting our agenda aside for God's agenda.
Amen.
Amen. The more we do that, the more grace is released in our life.
Yeah.
God's will be done. That's how we live. God's will be done. Now, Jesus walked this earth and he had power, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Oh, yes, he did. Mm-hmm. He cast demons out, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He cleansed lepers, didn't he?
Yes.
Yep. He made the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, right?
Mm-hmm.
He raised the dead. He calmed the sea. He multiplied fish and bread.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus walked around what? In power.
Yeah.
Well, what does the scripture say in Philippians? Let this mind be in you, and also in Christ Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Though he was equal with God, thought it not robbery, right?
Mm-hmm.
Though he was God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Mm-hmm.
But he made himself no reputation, all those things, right? Well, what does it say? It said that he humbled himself.
Yeah.
Jesus humbled himself.
Amen.
You wonder why he walked around in power?
Wow.
Because he humbled himself.
Yeah.
And what does God do to humble? He gives grace to the humble. What? Favor and power.
Yeah.
And Jesus humbled himself unto God on every point.
Yeah.
God's will be done.
Yes.
He said, I came to do the will of him who sent me.
Yeah.
Jesus was all about doing the Father's will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked in power
because
he wanted God's will to be done.
Yeah.
Now, we said earlier that we want God's will to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust you meant that when you said that.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah.
I want God's will to be done.
Amen.
I ask you to turn with me to 3 John. 3 John. We're going to look at verse number 2. Third John, verse number 2. It says here, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers.
Mm-hmm.
There are two areas, I believe, in the body of Christ today where people are suffering, where there are challenges for the people of God, and it's in the area of their health
mm-hmm.
and their finances.
Yeah, true.
Major.
Yeah, major is right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a lot of other things, amen. I mean, this is not to say everything falls into those categories.
Right.
But, you know, you don't have to go that very far and visit many churches to find people who are saying they themselves have health issues
mm-hmm.
or loved ones have health issues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to go very far in the body of Christ I'm talking about
mm-hmm.
to find people who will say they have financial issues.
Yeah.
And many times you will find people who will say they have both.
Mm-hmm.
True.
That's true.
True.
And because health and finances are so vital to our life. Now, no one's trying to say they come down to that.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to stop trying to be religious
mm-hmm.
and act as if those two areas aren't important. When there's a struggle in those areas, it messes us up.
True. Mm-hmm. True.
In other words, don't be religious and like, oh, I don't need to, I could be just fine. But when you have a struggle in those areas, it messes you up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Health is an easier one, we understand, because if you're not healthy, and there's certain things you're not going to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so health is obviously important. Your finance is important too, because why? Listen, we're in this world, we're not out of this world.
Mm-hmm.
But while you're in this world, you still got to pay your mortgage.
Yeah.
You still got to pay your rent.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to pay your bills.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to put gas in your car.
Yeah.
You still have to buy groceries.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying you should be focused on these things. You shouldn't worry about them. So we're going to talk about that. But let's not confuse when Jesus says, take no thought. He just said, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
He didn't say you won't need it.
Exactly.
He just said, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even the kingdom still needs resources.
That's true. That's true.
You have to, right?
Mm-hmm.
He just said, don't worry about it. So we're not worrying about it, we're not focusing on it, but we understand something. Oh, glory to God. The reason why God is saying God's will be done, because these are two areas where God's will is not being done, because too many of us in the body have gotten religious on these two principles, on these two points.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And does God want you to be saved?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Does God want you to be healthy?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Does God want you to be prosperous?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we get religious. And we start to say, but you know, prosperity is not all about money.
Yeah.
And it's not. But why you have to add the disclaimer?
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And then you struggle in the area that you're disclaiming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you wonder why.
Wow.
Okay, let's let's go to the scripture. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as I so prosper. Now, I've heard a lot of people say that the Bible is written by men.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And like in a scripture like this, they'll say, well, that's not God's will. That's John writing to Gaius. Amen. Verse number one, right? The elder, the beloved, well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. For love I wish above all things that thou may. He was writing to him.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 16 that all scripture is inspired by God.
Yeah, that's true.
All scripture.
Yes.
So yes, men wrote it, but it was under the inspiration of God.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. All scripture is inspired by God.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the scripture says, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, right? That's something that's given under the inspiration of God.
Yeah.
Look what else it says. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Can you hear the heart of God in that?
Yeah.
I have no greater joy
yeah.
than to hear that my children walk in truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's God right there. Amen?
Uh-huh.
Because the truth is God's word.
Mm-hmm.
He has no greater joy than we walk in the truth. But he says, I desire that you be in health, right? I desire that you prosper and be in health,
yeah.
even as your soul prospers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here to tell you that God wants you to prosper
mm-hmm.
and to be in health. And when you say, I desire God's will be done, and his will is good and acceptable and perfect,
uh-huh.
then we need to understand that part of his will is that we be in health and we prosper.
Amen.
Two of the main areas where the body of Christ are struggling
yeah.
right now.
That's true. Yeah.
And the reason why we're struggling is because when it comes to health and prosperity, we've gotten religious.
Yeah.
But we don't simply say, we want your will to be done.
Because
then we start saying that, well, if God wanted everybody to, he doesn't want everybody in the body to be rich. Because why are so many people not, right? He's not, she's not. He doesn't want all of us to be healthy because my aunt was in, she was born in the church. And I'm just saying,
yeah.
you know what I mean? I'm not trying to be
yeah,
disrespectful,
fair.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she was born in the church and she got sick and... In 2 Peter chapter 3, God says that he desires that all men come
yeah.
to repentance.
Yes,
true.
That's what he said. That he wants all men come to repentance. Do all men come to repentance?
Nope.
No. Does that mean it wasn't God's will?
Nope.
No. Right? God said this to us before. We can never define what God's will is by the results in man.
That's true.
That's right.
Because God has a will,
uh-huh.
but man has a will too.
That's true. That's true.
And God has given man a will.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And what he wants is for us to align our will with his.
That's right.
But not everybody does that.
That's right.
God wants everybody to be saved,
mm-hmm.
but there have been people in the past, and there will be people in the future, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
who will refuse God's invitation of salvation.
That's true. That's true.
They're going to exercise their will and say, I don't want it.
Yeah.
And then they're not going to be saved. And that doesn't mean that it wasn't God's will for them to be saved. So just because something is God's will doesn't mean it will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
And see, a lot of people think, well, if it's God's will, that's why people say, well, if it's God's will, then they just back off. And if God's will just automatically happens. God's will doesn't just automatically happen. Because someone can say, I don't want it.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen? Because God's salvation is what? A gift.
Mm-hmm.
And gifts have to be
received.
Mm-hmm. And if you don't want to receive the gift of salvation, guess what? You won't have it.
Exactly.
Even though it was God's will to give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Many are called, few are chosen.
Yeah.
Because there are few who accept the call.
Yeah.
You got to accept the call to become part of the chosen.
Yeah.
And there's some people who say, I don't want it.
Uh-huh.
Amen? The doors of the church are open all the time. It's God's will for his saints to gather together.
Uh-huh.
There are plenty of people who say, I'm saved, but I'm staying home.
Uh-huh.
I don't need to go to church. Whose will is that?
Yes.
That's their will.
Yeah, exactly.
God says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
Exactly.
But there are a whole lot of people who stay home and don't come to church. That's their will.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
If God's will was done, churches would be full every Sunday.
Amen.
Amen.
That's for the people who are saved.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Saved people are sleeping right now. And they didn't go to church on Saturday either. Sometimes they go, well, my church goes to church on Saturday. They tell you that, but they didn't tell you where they went. God says, right, in everything give thanks.
Yeah.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Yeah.
Are everybody, is everybody in the body thankful?
No.
No. But it's God's will that we give thanks in everything.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
But people don't give thanks in every situation. Some people complain the minute something goes wrong. Is that God's will? No. That they did that, but it is God's will to give thanks. So God wants certain things, but if people don't want it, God's never been to, he's always, that's why he put the garden, the tree in the middle of the garden. Adam, don't eat of it. The tree is the knowledge of good and evil. Adam had a choice. Mm-hmm. God told him what his will was, don't eat of that tree.
Yeah.
Adam and Eve ate of the tree.
Yeah.
They exercised their own will.
Yeah.
I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting.
Yes.
Did God say that?
Uh-huh.
It's his will that men pray where?
Everywhere.
Everywhere.
And then you got Christians who are going to go to Denny's and Longhorn and Red Lobster after church.
Exactly.
Today.
Yes.
And they're going to sit down after church.
Oh.
And sit in a public restaurant and they won't pray over their food. Is that God's will?
No.
He said, I will that men pray everywhere.
That's right.
So listen, just because something doesn't happen doesn't mean it's not God's will. Sometimes and many times, if it's not happening, it's because we refuse.
Yeah.
We refuse to receive the gift of salvation. We refuse to assemble ourselves together.
Mm-hmm.
We refuse to give thanks. We refuse to pray everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's still God's will.
Yes.
So God's will is for you to be in hell. Why isn't everybody healthy? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you gotta understand, the devil's walking around trying to afflict people, you know.
Very.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
He, what does he do? He steals,
he kills,
and he destroys.
Yeah.
And what's he going to do? You think he's going to not do it in your finances and your health?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he's going to be coming there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
He's going to be coming there.
Amen.
There are many people who are alive today because there are some people who believe in the Word of God and in God's willingness and ability to heal. That's the only reason why they're still here.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there were some people who refused. My loved one's not going out like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yes.
Let's take the health one, right? Jesus said, I come to do the will of him who sent me.
Mm-hmm.
And God talked about, what did Jesus do? Jesus went around healing people, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
The Bible says he went around healing all who were oppressed of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says. He healed all, and we see the examples, right?
Mm-hmm.
Blind Bartimaeus, just name them, right? The woman with the issue of blood. The woman bowed over for 18 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The man at the pool of Bethesda. The man born blind.
Yeah.
The widow of Nain's son. Jairus' daughter. Lazarus come forth. Right? The man who's sick of the palsy. The man with the withered hand.
Wow.
The man possessed at the demon. The young boy whose father had unbelief.
Yeah.
Right? The man who was at the tomb cutting himself.
Yeah.
I mean,
the
list is endless.
Amen.
And as John said, he said that we wrote about all the things that Jesus did, all the books in the world couldn't contain.
Exactly.
So we just get a glimpse. But we have enough of a glimpse to know Jesus went around what?
Amen.
Healing people.
Yes.
Right? Is it God's will to heal? Well, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yes.
So what have you seen Jesus do? Healing people. What do you think the Father wants to do?
Heal
people.
Amen.
It ain't that hard.
Exactly.
Right? Right. Now, but watch this, though. This is just getting us to a point of something where don't let things get in the way. Don't let it get complicated. Don't let it get complicated. The leper, right? If you're willing, you can heal me.
Uh-huh.
What Jesus said, I am willing.
Yeah.
Be cleansed.
Yeah.
Right? Don't let it get complicated. Is that God's will?
Yeah.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So, what did we say earlier when the question was asked? Do you want God's will for your life?
Yeah.
You said yes.
Yeah.
right? Okay. So now, if you want God's will for your life, what do? You submit to it. You humble yourself to it. You yield to it. Don't think about it. See, this is where we get into trouble. We start to think about it. We start to try to rationalize and how's it going to come? But the doctor said, but my neighbor said. No, is it God's will? Then guess what? Just submit to it.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. 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 God's will is for me to be healthy and whole. God's will is for my loved ones to be healthy and whole.
Yeah.
And then this way, just submit to the will.
Yeah.
Submit to it. Amen.
Yeah.
And what the devil wants you to do, this is why he attacks our mind. He wants you to think about it. Mm-hmm. Has God really said? See? Mm-hmm. Right? He's going to come and question. Has God really said?
Yeah.
Is that really going to happen? Is he really going to? Yeah, but you know, God works in mysterious ways. He doesn't always do. Listen, forget all that. I just submit to it.
Amen.
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 I submit to it. God desires that you be in health. Amen. God desires that you prosper.
Yes.
But we get religious, right? Because, you know, we get, well, you know, God's will. God doesn't raise up everybody, and so we can't try to act as if, you know. No, no, no. It's not acting anything. It's just submitting to the will of God. What about your prosperity? I don't need to have all that money. It's not all about having money. Who said it was all about having money? Let me ask you a question. You ever thought about, go back to the book of Genesis. You ever thought about, in chapter 2, do you know what was in the garden and coming out of the garden? It was gold. Go back and look at chapter 2. What's gold in the garden? Gold. You know that stuff, you know, bling bling, gold. What is gold in the garden? Listen, God, everything God does is, what do you think? It's always prospering. Everything associated with God is prosperous. Did Abraham prosper?
Yes,
he did. He had silver and gold and a lot of cash. Uh-huh. But we get religious. Yeah, but I don't need to be. Nobody asks you what you need to be. See, here's the thing. Does God want you saved?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't you, but we have accepted, we don't get into all these discussions. Well, I don't need to be saved. See, we don't discuss it.
Yeah.
We don't rationalize it. Mm-hmm. We don't justify it.
Mm-hmm.
We just accept it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
When our mind was turned, when God's goodness led us to repentance, mm-hmm. we simply accepted the gift of salvation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was God's will for us to be saved, and we said, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
And that was it. God wants you to be prosperous, and you go, oh, yeah, but prosperity really doesn't mean money. You know, in Psalm 35, verse 27, I believe, it says that God delights in the prosperity of his servant.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know about you, but I want God to be delighted in me.
Amen.
I'm not going to deprive God of delighting in me because I don't want to be prosperous when he delights in my prosperity. I want to please God in every respect. And if me being prosperous delights God, then God, I want you to be happy.
Amen.
Then be more prosperous. I want to please the Lord, but then be prosperous.
Yeah.
Because that brings delight to God's heart.
Yeah.
Amen. He delights in the prosperity of his servant.
Yeah.
He even said, I desire that you prosper.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Can I show you something? This is religious talking. Turn to me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We need to be healthier in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Right? Physically, we need to be healthier. Emotionally, we need to be healthier. Amen? There are too many people walking around with emotional scars in the body of Christ. There are too many people who have mentally, their minds are kind of in turmoil in the body of Christ. Their bodies are weak, and they got all kinds of things. We need to be healthier as a body.
Yeah, true.
God has work for us to do, amen?
Yeah.
And if our bodies are afflicted, if our minds are afflicted,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to be of any use in the kingdom.
That's true.
We have to be healthier, amen?
Wow.
And guess what? The poor will be with us always.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you now, there are too many, there are like rich people in the world, there are a whole lot of rich people in the world who aren't living by the word of God.
Yeah.
And so those riches are staying in their hands for now.
Uh-huh.
But God needs more people who are God-minded.
Amen.
Amen. Uh-huh. Who are obedient unto him.
Uh-huh.
Who will take the riches and the prosperity he will give them and will bless the poor.
Yeah.
Will give to the needy.
Uh-huh.
Amen?
Amen?
And if there aren't enough people in the body who are walking around going, well, but I don't need to be. See, that's the problem right there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Watch this. This is what happened. Look at this. I'm going to read one verse, and then we're going to watch this. Look at, where's that?
2 Corinthians chapter 8.
Yeah, that's right. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse number 9. Let's look at this scripture. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich.
Mm-hmm.
That what it says?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in every other area, you talk to somebody, take them out of the church. They're born again, but take them out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And say to them, he's rich, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so-and-so is rich. None of them are going to say to you that they didn't think that you meant he had a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
No. But when you get in church, all of a sudden, rich has nothing to do with money. Well, God's not talking about money. You understand what I'm saying? But when you're outside the church and someone says he's rich, you automatically begin to think he's doing pretty well financially.
Yeah.
But when you get into the church, you get religious.
Yeah.
And so you read a scripture like this and say, when a preacher says to you, Jesus, who was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. See, the religious folks mean to say, but being rich there just means spiritually rich. That's just only spiritually rich. You know, having a rich relationship with God. You know, having peace in your mind. You know, because it's not all about money. And see, here's the thing. No one said it was all about money. But this is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. But to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying with us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take it upon us, the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. You know what he's talking about here? The Macedonians had given a financial gift to the church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the Corinthian church had made a promise to give to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, just as they have given to the church, and you promise to give, I want you to live up to your promise
mm-hmm.
and to give.
Mm-hmm.
What's he talking about giving?
Money.
Mm-hmm. So in this context, when he says Jesus became poor that you became rich, in what context was this verse written? In the context of money. But religious people immediately go, oh, but he's not talking about money. This whole chapter leading into the next. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 9 is where he says, God loves a cheerful giver. If you read 8 and 9, it's all about the gifts, financial gifts, that the Corinthian church had promised to give unto the saints in Jerusalem.
Right?
Yeah. Right? If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly, right? If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Not out of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. What's he talking about? Yes. But religious folk want to take this out of it, right? They want to take it out. But here's the thing. It's God's will to prosper you. It's God's will to prosper you. But for what reason? Deuteronomy 8 and 18 says, don't forget, it is God who gives you power to get wealth,
mm-hmm.
that he may establish his covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So God wants you to have it, but why? So he can establish his covenant. Well, what's part of the covenant? I will bless you. Isn't that what he said to Abraham? I will bless you. And then what? And you shall be a blessing.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody. How are you going to be a blessing if you are so down on your luck?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's right.
Exactly. Amen? Oh, I can bless somebody with an encouraging word. I understand that, brother, and that's a good thing. But you know what? Sometimes somebody needs their lights turned back on.
Yeah.
Sometimes somebody needs a bill paid.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody, right?
Yeah.
James said it. There are people who are homeless and they don't have clothes, they don't have food, and it's not enough for you to say, pray, be warm, and be fed. Sometimes you got to go buy the sandwich.
Exactly.
The last time I checked, the deli man still takes money for the sandwich. Amen? Why did God tell us? Because here's the thing. He's saying unto us, in these two areas, our health and in our finances, in the body, see, we get all religious and we act, but yet when we close the door, when we leave the church, when the preaching stops, you hear it all the time, how people are struggling in these two areas.
Yeah.
And part of the problem is they don't accept that their health and their prosperity is part of God's will for their life.
That's true.
Amen? And instead of saying, God's will be done, they come up with all kinds of excuses as to why they don't need it, they don't really have to have that,
yeah.
God works in mysterious ways, well, you never know what God wants to do, God has a plan, and all these other kind of things. But why don't you say that about your salvation? You don't. You just accepted it. And that's how God's will has to be. You have to do what? You have to humble yourself. And what does humble say? Humility says, not my will, thy will be done. So when God says, I delight in the prosperity of my servant, are you his servant? Then know what you say? Prosper me, Lord. Thy will be done.
Amen. Amen.
When God says that by his stripes you are healed, amen. When he says, amen, through Jesus Christ, healing this one, healing that one, and the Bible says he's no respecter of persons, you say, heal me, Lord.
Amen.
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 Your will be done. That's it. Don't say anything else.
Yeah.
But too many of us want to say other stuff. We want to ask questions. And see, here's the problem. Because, see, we know deep down we're getting in the way of our own receiving.
Yeah. That's true. True.
We know deep down we're getting in the way of our own receiving. And so, know what we do? When the preacher starts saying it, they go, yeah, but if God really wanted to do this, how come? Well, why don't you say that about salvation?
Yeah, exactly.
If you're not saying that about salvation, don't say it about healing and prosperity. Because
yeah.
You know everybody's not saved.
Uh-huh.
But you know it's God's will to save everybody.
Exactly.
But everybody don't receive it.
That's right.
But how come you don't say it to the preacher, well, if God really wanted to save everybody, everybody would be saved. You don't say that.
Right.
You don't say that.
No.
Because you know there are some people who are going, I don't want that.
Exactly.
And what I'm saying to you is there are some people who are saying, I don't want that. Right? No, I don't want that because they believe something that was religious. that somebody told them. And all I'm saying to you is this. Humble yourself under the hand of God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He gives what?
Grace
to the humble. Mm-hmm. What's grace?
Favor
and
power.
Uh-huh. And so when God says, I've given you power to give wealth, who's getting that power? The humble.
Uh-huh.
Not the saved, because there are some people who are saved who ain't humble.
Uh-huh.
Because they got saved, but they don't humble themselves under God's hand for the other stuff. Hey, look, there are people who don't humble themselves when it comes to when God says, forgive other people. I'm not forgiving them. They're holy blood. Are they humble?
No.
Do you think they have power?
No.
Because God gives power to who? The humble. So guess what we need to do? We need to focus on humbling ourselves. And you know how you humble yourself? Not my will, thy will be done. Amen? And in these two areas of our health and our finances that are afflicting so many people in the body of Christ, and the devil has done a number on people because he's twisted our minds so now we think that receiving health and prosperity is something that's to be resisted. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
I don't need all that much. I don't need all that much to get by. Fine. Then take the overflow and pass it on to somebody else in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. See, but when you start to say, I don't need, who are you starting the whole sentence with?
I.
Yourself. Right? Mm-hmm. In the beginning?
God.
So start your sentence off with God.
Amen.
Not with what you want, what you need.
Amen.
But here's the funny thing. Here's the funny thing about these religious folk. Amen? Mm-hmm. The ones who want to say, oh, just hear it mean financial prosperity there. It's just spiritual. Watch this. But when you go home, you're praying on the floor with your door closed. That God bless you financially. You're praying for him to pay that bill. The one who doesn't need money. You're praying for a new car. You're praying that the loan comes through. You're praying for the money to send your kid to college. But when the preacher comes up here and says, well, I don't need them, then why are you asking
something?
You gotta make up your mind. You seem double-minded to me. Because on the one hand, you don't need the money, but then when you go in your own prayer closet, you're so busy, you ask God for money more than you ask for anything else. You ask God to pay your bills more than you ask for anything else. Your bills are on your mind, and your tuition is on your mind, and the rent is on your mind, all these things on your mind, and you're asking God to do this all the time.
Uh-huh.
Why? Why not just say, God, your will be done?
Yeah.
And you know what I believe? That if we would submit and yield to the will of God in these areas, you'd find that we wouldn't be praying for those things as much as we pray.
Amen.
And instead, we'd be praying for people around us.
Uh-huh.
Amen. Instead, we'd be praying, amen, for other things in the body of Christ. But see, I'm telling you, these things weigh on somebody's mind. You can have people in here, and they're sitting up in church, and they're sitting there wondering about how they're going to pay their bills. Literally, I've been there. Anybody been there?
Yeah.
Where you got so many bills on top of you that even though you're in church, you're like a million miles away, wondering, man, how am I going to, you know, you're going to work tomorrow, and it's like, and that bill lady, he said, I'll call you next week, and you still don't have the money yet, and you're sitting there, right? And the preacher's preaching, and you ain't even listening.
Uh-huh.
Hmm? Uh-huh. You ever been in church, and your body is aching so much,
uh-huh,
amen,
uh-huh,
that you can't wait to get home and just lay down?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
This stuff is real.
Yes, it is.
So why don't we just accept God's will for it? Amen?
Wow.
God, your will be done.
Mm-hmm. Let's turn to one last place and we'll read. Luke chapter 1. Mary. The birth of Jesus foretold. You know, as the angel Gabriel came to Mary, and he greeted her and said, Hail,
thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. She didn't understand why he spoke to her that way. And in verse 30, the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, but thou hast found what?
Favor
with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. What happens when the Holy Ghost comes upon thee?
Power.
So what do we see here? Favor and power. So what must we be seeing here then? Grace. Amen? And the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Favor and power. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived in her old age, and this is the 6th month of her who is called barren.
Here's Mary, a little
shepherd girl, amen?
Little girl. Teenager, right? Young girl. Angel comes to her and says to her, the Savior of the world is going to be born through you. I don't know about you. I don't believe there's anything that has ever been told to anyone that was greater than that.
Amen.
Amen. The Savior of the whole world, God's Son, is going to be born through you. That's pretty big.
Yeah.
That's pretty big. And after the angel said this to Mary, in verse 37, he says, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And then Mary said unto the angel, be it unto me according to thy word. What was she saying? God's will be done. This is the greatest thing that could ever be said. And she said, God's will be done. If this is what God wants, she didn't go, why are you picking me? I'm not good enough. I'm right. God's will be done.
Yeah.
Right? And what? Did she give birth to the Savior of the world?
Yes, she did.
How did she do it? Because faith and power were released in her life. Why? Because she humbled herself under God's will.
Yeah.
I'm about to marry Joseph. I can't do that. Picture my life.
Be it unto me according to thy word. She humbled herself to what God wanted.
Yeah.
And because of that, the greatest thing that could happen to a woman, thou art highly favored among women.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Happened to her because she simply wanted God's will done in her life.
Yeah.
And she just submitted to it. And when she did, God released a grace in her life that gave her the favor and the power to bring forth the Savior of the whole world.
Yeah.
That's greater than you and I receiving a physical healing in our body.
Because
this happened only once. Many people get healed.
Yeah.
Right? Even the most miraculous healing, a lot of people get healed. There's been only one woman that gave birth to the Savior.
Yeah.
This is a once in a lifetime, never to be seen again.
Exactly.
This is truly unique. And she said, be it unto me according to your word. This is the attitude we have every aspect of God's will for our life. When God says he wants you to forgive, be it unto me according to your word. I forgive. Don't worry about how that person's going to think you're a fool and going to try to get over on you again. Be it unto me according to your word. God says, give, don't worry about how you're going to make it through this. Be it unto me according to your will. Right? And if God said, I want to prosper you, don't worry about where it's coming from. You just simply go, be it unto me according to your will. I desire that you prosper and be in health. Your body don't matter. Be it unto me according to your word.
Yeah.
Amen? Amen. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Once we know God's will, we don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
We have to submit to it.
Uh-huh.
That's it. And the more we think about it, the more we rationalize about it, the more we want to talk about it, the more we want to question it, the more we want to dispute it, the more we want to debate it, the more we're not going to have it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So think about all the things you're questioning and talking about and saying about and all this about. And then think in all the areas that you're struggling in. And then look in the Bible and say, is that God's will for you to be struggling in that area? And if it is His will for you to prosper in that area instead of struggle, then you need to stop complaining and talking and questioning and doubting and simply yield.
Yeah, amen.
Amen?
That's right.
God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. But we want to question too much. And that's why we don't have it. We're too many of us are like Zechariah. Right? And God shuts our mouth. And He shuts us off. Amen? Amen? Because we, you don't believe? You don't believe these good tidings I've come to give you, Zechariah? Your mouth's going to be shut until the baby's born.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You got to determine. You're going to be like Zechariah, you're going to be like Mary. You're going to have questions, or you're going to submit. And all I'm saying to you is the Bible says that those who submit, those who yield, those who humble themselves, see grace released in them. Favor and power.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So what are we going to do? Amen. In these two areas, when God said, I desire you prosper and be in love, what do you say? I desire it too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have said that I may boldly say. So not only do I say it boldly. Amen?
Yeah.
I desire to prosper and be in health even as my soul prospers.
Yeah.
That's what I say. Why? Because God said it. And I'm not questioning it. And somebody's going to say, yeah, but you know, you've been out of work for 6 months. Be it unto me according to your word. Amen? You've been laid up in the bed all the time. Be it unto me according to your word. That's all you have to do. You don't have to figure it out. And no, just yield to the will of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yield to the will of God. Amen. And listen, and we're closing here. And I know you understand, we're just going to make this clear. No one is trying to make it seem as if health and prosperity is the will of God, that's the thing you should be focused on only. No one's saying that.
Right?
Right? But these are areas, if we're honest, that people in the body of Christ today are struggling with mightily.
True.
And all God is saying is that it's an unnecessary struggle that's born of our own religious notions.
Yeah.
Of trying to be something God never wanted us to be. Trying to be pious and upright and all these things. And we're trying to put it on, you know? And God is saying, no, it's my will. And just like every other part of my will, you yield to it.
Yes.
And if you don't yield to it, you won't have it.
Yeah.
That's all. Amen? That's all. But it's important because it's something that in the body of Christ today, the struggle is widespread.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that way.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
It doesn't have to be that way. So listen, you said, and I believed you when you said it, you want God's will done in your life.
Yes.
Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And that's it. That settles it. That's it. Nothing to talk about. And so just understand, every aspect, you want God's will done. Amen. In fact, that's what the scripture says. You know, you read certain versions where it says, beloved, I wish above all things That above all things is translated in all respects. Mm-hmm. Beloved, I wish in all respects that they prosper and be in health. So he wants prosperity and health, full life prosperity.
Right. Yeah.
That includes your finances. That's part of your life too.
Right?
It includes your health. That's part of your life too. It includes your relationships and all of those things as well.
Amen.
But don't accept it there and then reject it out of some notion of some false religion. Amen? What do we say to God's will? Be it unto me according to your word. And if God said it, just submit to what God has said.
Amen.
Stop struggling in your own strength and trying to bring it to pass. The power to bring it to pass comes in your submission.
Amen.
Because when you do that, he gives grace to the humble. Favor and power. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. How many are ready to submit?
Amen.
I'm ready. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's not, we make it too hard, Brother James.
Yeah.
We make it too hard.
Yeah.
We've been struggling.
Yeah.
We've been kicking against the brick, you know?
Yeah.
And we're wondering why we're hurt.
Yeah.
We're struggling for, and God has made it, we are living in the dispensation of grace.
Amen.
How do we struggle to try to accomplish what Jesus has already accomplished?
Amen.
And we're wondering why we're not going anywhere. That's over, amen.
Amen.
The devil's lies are exposed. We just want to submit to the will of the Lord. Let's stand on our feet today. Amen. We just going to submit to God's will. Amen. Find God's will and then submit to it. Amen.
Amen.
That is right. That is it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you today.
Thank you, Lord.
We truly do thank you, Lord, for you. God, you're just marvelous beyond description.
Thank you, God.
Through the Lord Jesus Christ, you have taken care of us totally. You have saved us. You have sanctified us. You have healed us and delivered us. And you redeemed us from the hand of destruction. Redeemed us from the curse of the law. We have everything we need in our salvation. And Father, too many times we have continued to try to work for that which Jesus has already paid the price for.
Yeah.
Father, we ask you now, God, to just identify every area in our lives in which we are struggling.
Yes,
and God, your will has been made plain. Father, we desire out of a sincere heart for your will to be done in our lives.
Yes.
In every area.
Yes.
That your will be done in our homes, yes, in our marriages, on,
yes,
the job, in our church, in our community.
Yes.
That your will be done in the area of health and finances and our emotional and mental well-being.
Yes,
God, we desire, God, to be blessed, that we,
yes,
may be a blessing in the earth, that praise and thanksgiving will abound unto you,
yes,
because,
God,
all will be,
yes,
pointed back to you to say it is the Lord's doing,
yes,
and it is marvelous in our eyes.
Yes,
Father, we,
yes,
just simply desire your will to be done. Father, we ask you now to help us, God.
Help us
by your Holy Spirit to walk in a spirit of humility, O
God,
that desires your will to be done, to yield unto you, to submit unto you, O God. And God, in that humility, we believe that your word is true, that you will release in our lives your grace,
yes,
your favor,
yes,
and your power,
yes,
that will allow us, O God, to walk in victory in every area of our lives. Father, we believe it's time for the body of Christ to rise up strong.
Yes.
We believe it's time, oh God, for us to be healed, to be made,
yes,
free,
yes,
oh God, in the name of Jesus. We believe it's time for every stronghold to be pulled down, for every yoke,
yes,
to be destroyed, oh God. We believe that it's time, oh God, to,
yes,
every band of oppression to be broken, oh,
yes,
Father, in the name of Jesus. And so, Father God, we are no longer struggling in our own strength. But, Father, we understand that we live under grace. And by your grace, God, we just submit to you. And we desire and pray your will be done.
Yeah.
Father, if you don't want it, we don't want it. If you want it, then that's what we want,
yeah,
God. It's that simple.
God.
And so, Father, we thank you right now.
Yeah.
We ask you, God, make your will plain unto,
yeah,
us, O God. in every area, great and small.
Yes.
Make your will known unto us, O God, in the name of Jesus. And Father God, help us by the aid of your Spirit, that upon knowing, we will quickly yield and submit to your will. And then God, we believe that as we do that, we shall see the power of God released in our lives. And we shall see the promises of God coming to pass. Father, we just thank you and praise you right now. It is our prayer today that your will be done in our lives here on earth, just as it is done up in heaven. Be it unto us according to your word. Father, we bless you and praise you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Time stands still as we see the picture of a man who takes what is not his, leaving in his way a broken woman and a man who hates enough to kill one by one. Somehow we come to understand what that means, and in desperation some pray thy kingdom come, pray thy will be done. Side by side we watch this picture.